You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
These two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackie and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
Write it down. You like writing things down.
Write that down. I don't have a pencil.
Well, remember that.
Write this down.
Write that down.
Welcome to the most high wire act segment in all of sports media. The only show in America dumb enough to put statistics next to our predictions. It's Write That Down every single Wednesday.
Write this down.
On Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd, and a football edition on Purple Daily every single week as well. Boys, I'm guessing there's going to be some Twins baseball predictions today because the Twins play their first regular season baseball game tomorrow. They play their first game at Target Field on April 4th at 3:10 p.m. and the forecast looks pretty good. 55 to 60 degrees, sunshine right now. We'll see if that changes, but you can be a part of the excitement on opening day at Target Field, April 4th, 3:10 versus the Guardians. First 10,000 fans through the gates receive an opening weekend beanie. You can see Royce Lewis, Byron Buxton, Pablo Lopez, Carlos Correa, and more at Target Field. Secure your spot at twins.com/tickets. That's twins.com/tickets. How are we feeling here, gentlemen?
Good.
I'm extremely excited about the start of the baseball season. Not that excited about this so far. Not off to a great start. Swings all screwed up.
I feel good.
I'm Wallner-like right now. I'm trying to say I was working on stuff, which I see now. He's like, I've been working on stuff.
Just honing some of my obscure sport predictions.
I'm 1 for 40. I'm just working on stuff.
So here's how it works before we get to the accountability session. It's three predictions from everybody on the show every single week. They must be quantifiable. Those are the parameters. We keep track of batting averages and home runs here on Write That Down. And listeners out there, if you want to be a guest listener participant like Chase is about to be for the first time, you can send Declan a message through the Score North app. There's a feedback tab, and we will get you scheduled for some time in the coming weeks. Okay, Judd, we will hold you accountable first. A lot of things came off the board.
Just a terrible start. My God, I am seriously considering resigning.
Please don't.
Wow, you're just gonna be done, huh?
But oh my God, I'm so upset right now.
We'll start with the bad. You said the Twins will trade Trevor Larnach before opening day.
Still, I need a hug.
You said Matt Wallner would lead the Twins in spring training home runs.
Oh, good God.
Nico Goodrum would make the Twins roster out of spring training.
He just got traded to the Rays this morning.
Who'd they get back?
Three bats and a donut?
Yeah, PBT, I don't know.
player to be named later.
A new analytics software program.
From the Rays, I'll take it.
Thad Levine will not be with the Twins by opening day of 2024.
Sweet mother of mercy.
The Twins will acquire a starting pitcher who isn't on the roster as of February 14th, who will make the opening day starting rotation.
Scrup and scrutum.
You said Louis Varland would be, these are the good ones. You got these right here.
Yeah, good.
Louis Varland will be in the Twins opening day rotation, which we haven't seen an official roster, but looks like he's going to be, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Declan, you want to contest something here?
Starting pitcher. Nope, not starting pitcher. I was looking at something for someone else on his prediction that was wrong for opening day, but the starting pitcher part is incorrect.
Oh, yeah.
I thought I was trying to help him out. I was trying to help him out.
But. Yep, nope, nope.
Okay.
I hear you. Nope, it was wrong.
Miguel Sano will be on a 40-man roster at some point during the season. He made the 26
with the Halos. The Halos are so bad.
He's killing it in spring.
You know what? Can somebody free Mike Trout? In fact, you know,
why doesn't Mike Trout try to free Mike Trout? What the hell is he doing?
Shohei Ohtani, bet on this. Mike Trout gets traded. Just somebody free Mike Trout. And you're right. Mike Trout can free Mike. What are we doing?
Dude, Damian Lillard had the same situation in Portland. He finally said, enough, enough.
At least Dame like went to the Western Conference Finals and won some playoff series here and there. Yeah, like, no. Trout's been to three playoff games.
I know.
I mean, Dame went to Milwaukee, too.
Yeah, by the way, a double overtime loss for Dame last night without LeBron James.
Holy cow. Great game.
Okay, I had a bad week, too. I should just stay away from college basketball. I said Richard Pitino's Lobos would make the Sweet 16. They got smoked by Clemson in the first round. Should have known. Said the Gophers would win the NIT. Thought the officials kind of screwed them there in the second.
Sky Mom was about
Larry Nerd.
Always out to get you.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Indiana State got screwed, by the way. That was an NCAA tournament team.
Yep, they're just beating the brakes off everyone in the NIT. Yeah, I said the Wolves would destroy the Warriors by at least 15 points in their next meeting.
Great game.
They beat the Warriors, but they did not win by at least 15.
Fantastic game.
I said the Grizzlies, this is before Ja Morant was out for the year, said the Grizzlies would climb back into the top 10 of the Western Conference standings. That is looking like it's not going to happen. I did say the Twins opening day payroll would be under $135 million, though. There's some questions about exactly where it is, but it's definitely not $135 million, right?
Correct.
Spotrac says 118 or 19. I feel like it's more than that, but it's
you're fine.
Not $135 million.
You're fine.
Okay, listeners, nice little week for the listeners. Michael said the Vikings would part ways with at least five current veterans and re-sign two veterans of at least, so the veteran being two or more seasons of NFL cred. Well, they said goodbye to Cousins, Daniil, KJ Osborne, Greg Joseph, Jordan Hicks. Yep. Like, there's actually a number of them. And they said, now he said re-sign. Well, Brandon Powell, Austin Schlotman, Blake Brandel is back. Those are all 2+ year veterans. So there's quite a few. So Michael is correct on his prediction. Kyle said between Sonny Gray, Jorge Polanco, and Max Kepler, only one of them will be on the opening day roster. Max Kepler. And I want to raise this one here because there was a question about it last week. So Lane has this one still on the board. The Vikings will have at least two picks in the first round of the 2024 draft.
A
couple people on the internet and via email said the word have is different than the word make.
Yep.
So Lane is saying the Vikings will have at least two picks in the first round of the 2024 draft. He's not saying they will make at least two picks. So with that, this is probably correct, right? It's probably a touchdown.
It strikes me as correct, but I've got one question. Do we need to consult with legal?
That's a great point. This is made for lawyer Chase here.
I feel like we're overstepping our boundaries if we make this ruling from the bench.
Lawyer Chase, if you are listening or watching this podcast today, should this be a correct point right now for Lane? Does it need to stay on the board? Because they right now they have two first round picks.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's I think it's I think the people who said it's right are correct, but I'm just saying this to me, the semantics, we should probably clear those.
Okay. We will summon Lawyer Chase, who's on retainer.
Always.
From Thomas. It's costing us an absolute arm and a leg.
I know. Okay, Declan, kind of a mixed week here, but in the end, I think you'll probably take this. So we'll start with the bad. You said we'd see at least two double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, that cracks
only
at
NC
it.
State.
Yeah, I did have NC State in my bracket, though. So, you know.
Nice. Lots of chalk,
go
right?
Wolfpack.
Lots of ones and twos.
Yep, lots of ones
lots
and twos.
All of the twos, which we'll get to in a second. You said there'd be a report that the Twins are considering playing Byron Buxton at first base, or the Twins brass will address the idea by opening day. I have heard none of this.
The flap is gone and the center field is back.
In a classic kind of Judd-like, I forgot I made this prediction. I had no idea this was on the board.
At some point, this could be like their next step, maybe, if they feel like, you know, I don't know. But this is a home run. You said all four number two seeds will make the Sweet 16, and you did, I think, face value, we probably would have said, I don't know if that's
a
home run.
Yep.
But you said it's happened only 6 out of 44 times, which means it's a very low percentage chance, obviously, and that's a home run.
Hashtag Hembo. Did all the research, and I credit Hembo here.
So you're just stealing takes from...
Well, I didn't steal takes.
Greeny and Hembo.
Hembo actually said in his bracket to eliminate a 2-seed by your Sweet 16 because historically all four don't make it. So I said, well, I'm going to do the inverse for a home run prediction on my own radio segment. So you take that, Hembo. Thank you, Hembo.
I think this is the furthest that Shaka Smart has been, by the way, since like his VCU runs 10 or 12 years ago.
Yeah, Texas was a bust for him, right?
Yeah. And then this one's still on the board here, unless you've seen, we haven't seen an official roster yet.
Sure.
But Declan said Josh Staumont will not be on the Twins opening day roster. It looks like he's going to start on the injured list, which would make this correct. But unless something's, they haven't released their official roster yet. So,
yeah, I think semantically we do have to technically keep this on the board. I think it's trending towards obviously likely a hit, but we can't, I guess, jump the gun too quick.
I got a question on mine from a note that Dex sent to us yesterday. Oh. Is my Michael Grady pick correct? I forget how I worded it. That's why I'm asking with some questions. Yeah.
What was your,
national TV work?
Yeah, I thought I remember one of you two making a Michael Grady prediction about national TV.
There is no Michael Grady prediction in the database.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought I did a couple of weeks ago, but I also might have
said it out loud. Yeah.
Or I might have decided to not do that take, which I should have. Okay.
Yeah, I don't see. I just control F.
He did a TNT game last night, right?
He did Kings and Mavericks. Yep.
Awesome.
So, okay. I don't.
Okay.
Seems like kind of shady. Judges try to get a point there for
some. No, I'm not shady. I asked because I thought that there was some.
Yeah.
It rang a bell when I saw it, and I was like, "Hey, isn't this a prediction?" So that's all it was. No shadiness.
So listeners are at 444 on the young season here. Declan's at 357. I'm at 308. Judd toiling at 214.
I'm up
that's
for the
why
Mackie
he's scrounging for predictions.
The Mendoza line.
Declan and I have one home run apiece, and the other, the listeners and Judd are still looking for the first. All-time career stats, Declan leads with a 360 average, Judd 326, I'm at 272, listeners 263. Listeners have the most home runs with 55, so there we go. A beefy accountability session. Let's get guest listener predictor Chase in here for his Write That Down debut. What's up, Chase?
Hey, guys, how we doing? Happy opening day Eve.
Hell yeah, dude. We got some Twins predictions lined up. Yeah, what's your background as a Minnesota sports fan? Tell us.
I grew up in Minnesota up until I went to the University of Arizona, actually. And my parents had season tickets to the Timberwolves for most of my childhood, which was unfortunately like 2009 to 2016, which is about the worst time you could possibly have Timberwolves season tickets. So I got
probably more affordable during that era to go to Timberwolves games.
Definitely, yeah.
So, who is your favorite Timberwolves player from 2009 through 2016?
It had to be Ricky Rubio. I know that was kind of the Kevin Love era, but Ricky Rubio was just so much more fun to watch during that time.
Mm-hmm. I hope he comes back and plays a couple. He's not that old, right? I knew he's got the mental health and some physical.
And what was the pop-up year, you guys, when we were at spring training, Phil, and he tore up his knee, but it was like a shortened season.
Yeah.
And the Wolves were a playoff threat until he got hurt against
the Lakers. They were battling for the 8 seed. Yeah. And they were playing the Lakers in that short season. He was guarding Kobe, and yeah, he just, right, just went down. And that, it's amazing. That iteration of the Wolves, they had a lot of talent. They, you know, Kevin Love was leading the league in rebounding and scoring 25 points, and they never finished above 500. Rick Adelman. Anyways.
Corner offense?
Corner offense?
That was a scheme. His scheme was called the corner offense.
Get that tattooed, I guess. Rick Adelman's corner offense.
It worked in Portland, you guys. So
it worked in Sacramento too.
Let's say. Yeah, yep. Sacktown worked pretty well, too.
That's right.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
So, Chase, you're going to lead us off here, and then we'll go Judd, Declan, and back to me. Three trips around the room. What's your first prediction, sir?
Write this down.
Not to lead the day off with too much negativity here, but I think the Tyler Mahle trade is going to start to look even worse this year. So I think Christian Encarnacion Strand is going to be kind of the next JD Martinez of the league. Okay. So write this down. Christian Encarnacion Strand will hit more home runs this season than any Twins player.
Well, that's a great prediction. You've come to the right place. I like that prediction.
Wow. Dude, yeah, he looks legitimate. They got a couple former Twins there kind of anchoring things. Okay, Judd.
All right. Royce Lewis will homer in tomorrow's game. So in the opener, Royce Lewis in Kansas City is going to hit a home run. I don't know if it'll be the first at bat. If I'm not mistaken, the Twins started off, what was the year after the contraction talk? Was that 2001? Mm-hmm. When Jack Jones opened the game at KC, mm-hmm, and Bramer like had the great line of "Take that to New York" or something like that. That was Dick's last great line. But anyway, Royce Lewis.
Wow, the drive-bys every single time.
And Corey Provis tomorrow. I'm so excited.
I bet you are. You are a kid.
Just did a Provis column.
Nobody loves to drive by former Minnesota sports figures than Judd Zolgad.
Hey, I am. Look, nobody loves Grady and Jim Pete like I do.
But yeah, until one of them leaves, and now you're going to be trashing them for.
Oh, I will never trash them for leaving. No. I'll trash them for becoming blatant homers, which they're actually not.
Okay, Declan.
All right, I have three Twins predictions related mostly to the start of the season. I'll start with this one. I'll make a similar one, but Byron Buxton hits the first home run for the Twins this season.
Yeah.
I think he'll be batting second most likely tomorrow. I think he'll be batting second, but he'll hit the first home run of the season for the Minnesota Twins. Write it down.
Okay. The number one Byron Buxton doubter, Declan.
Oh, I have another Buxton prediction. Another Buxton prediction.
He'll twist his knee in the third.
Not a doubter, just a realist.
I'm going to take my Alex Kirilloff optimism from this week's Scorn Our Twin Show season preview. I'm going to put it in to write that down for him. Alex Kirilloff will finish the season with a career high OPS. So this is his fourth year in the majors. His OPSs have been 722, 651, and 793. So he will have an OPS, a career high OPS of at least 794. Write it down.
Cool.
Maybe he'll get over 800.
Get the glove down.
And if he doesn't play an inning at first base, that's fine. Just swing the bat.
That's also true.
Speaking of drive-bys, Declan, for no reason, as Phil is trying to talk about Kirilloff at the plate, get the glove down.
Glove down.
I can't wait because Declan's going to be around the ballpark a lot more. If Declan takes this same venom face-to-face to guys like Kirilloff in the clubhouse.
And Griffin Jack.
Or becomes big as, I had a good conversation with Kirilloff. We're on the same page.
No, you will not have a good conversation.
Yeah, I don't think I got to worry about that one.
Just, hey, swing the bat, get an 800 OPS. It doesn't matter.
Oh, yeah, I'm just saying he's a dead ass.
Okay, Chase, what is your next prediction?
Right there. I'm going to swap over to the Wolves here. I think if Cat is back in the first round, I think he's going to be a little limited still, and I think Ant's going to need somebody else to step up. So write this down. Naz Reid, the legend, will have at least one 20-plus point double-double in the first round of the playoffs.
Let's go. I love it. The double-double, because like he's definitely going to score. You said a 20-point double-double?
Yep.
Especially if Kat's out, like Naz is going to score. It's funny, the rebounds are a little bit tougher to come by for him because he's not as much. He's literally playing like wing. Mm-hmm. He's much. They list him as a center still on all the different websites and classifications. He's much more of a 3 or like a 3-4 hybrid than he is a 5.
Yeah, but playoff Rudy always gets phased out a little bit, so I think he's going to get some more opportunities in the rebound category.
Okay.
Write this down.
All right, we're back to Judd here.
All right, I'm going to stick on my opening day Twins predictions. The Twins will steal 2 or more bases tomorrow.
Okay.
So a couple of years ago, they didn't run much. They obviously enlarged the bases. Last year, they ran, I think, a little bit more. And the Twins are going to use a little bit of their speed tomorrow to get guys in scoring position.
What do you think swipes those bags?
Off the record?
Yeah, off the record. Do you think swipes those bags?
I think Correa steals a base.
Really?
I think there's a chance, yeah. Yep.
Wait, how many? Hold on, let me look this up. That might off the record. That might be a home run right there. If you just say like Carlos Correa, what's his recent? Last year he had the foot injury.
Yeah, that's what
dude.
I'm saying. He's healthy.
Wow. Are you looking at the same thing I am?
Yeah.
Judd, why do you think Carlos Correa is going to steal a base tomorrow?
Because he feels good. He feels healthy, and I think Buxton or Lewis.
Do you know when the last time Carlos Correa stole a base was?
2 years ago.
Keep going.
3 years ago.
Keep going.
2003.
Tracking like that.
It was on April 9th, 2019 at home against the Yankees.
It's going to be his first time. It's going to be his first time.
Okay. I have a prediction after Dex. I'm going to come in after.
Okay. All right. Make another Buxton prediction here. Write this down. Byron Buxton will start 10 games in center field between now and April 18th. That is 18 possible games. He will start in center field, not play center field, start in center field at least 10 times between now and April 18th. Write it down.
I think we'd take that, wouldn't we?
Oh, yeah,
we'd take that ratio.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there'd be some DH, some off days built in. Yeah.
Sure.
I'm good with that. Okay, write this down.
Write this down.
Carlos Correa will steal a base this season. He will steal at least, and I think that's a home run prediction.
Yes.
Is it not? He hasn't stolen a base since April 9th of 2019. And
one stolen base. I mean,
he has only been caught stealing once over that stretch.
He's only attempted one stolen base.
That foot's feeling good now, though, baby. That foot's feeling good. He's getting the lead off. He's getting the lead off the pitcher. Bases are bigger. He's going.
Can I get a home run for this?
Going.
The dude has one stolen base in 5 years.
Sure. Yeah.
I think so. The baseball reference thing isn't loading, but I was trying to get the exact games between 2020 and 2023 because it's, 400-some games. But
so it's been almost, because it was like the fifth game of the year in 2019. So he has played in 552 games over the last 5 years.
Yep.
No stolen bases.
Keep in mind, though, he couldn't, like last year, the foot hurt. Now the bases are bigger. Now he's feeling good about himself. Going to be youthful.
Write this down.
Dax, do you have something else?
No. Keep going. You're good. Let's keep
All right, Chase, what's your third and final prediction?
All right, I wanted to go with some kind of Vikings draft prediction. I just feel like there's too much steam all over about the QBs at the moment, so we're going to go in a different direction here. The Vikings will draft at least 2 non-FBS players in this year's NFL draft.
Ooh. Well, we just did a mock on Purple Daily from today where they drafted a South Dakota cornerback.
Yep.
I think that was the only FCS, right? So that would be what South Dakota plays in. Okay.
So Christian Boyd out of Northern Iowa, Mason McCormick, and Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. Both of those guys look really good. I think there's just too much small school talent this year to pass on all of them.
Christian Boyd did like 39 reps on the bench press.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's pretty bonkers. That video is going around social media. That's our guy Jeremiah Cyril's client right there. Should be rooting for him. So after you do like 30 or 35, like does a coach hop on the bar to make it harder for you? Did they just let you sit there all day and come on, 39 reps?
I'm pinkies. Come on, bro. Come on.
Well, Chase, awesome work on your first prediction. Since you've got this life-changing platform here on Write That Down, is there anyone in your life you'd like to thank that helped you get here today?
Yeah, I already gave a shout-out to the parents for raising me in the great state of Minnesota. So I have to give the other one to my fiance, Krista. She's a Massachusetts native, but she lets me listen to your guys' show all day, every day, and watch Minnesota sports whenever I want. She even has a Viking sweatshirt now that she bought for herself. So nice.
Wow.
We're making a believer out of her.
She a Patriots fan by birth?
She is, yeah.
Red Sox fan by birth?
Yep.
Bruins
fan? Celtics fan?
Yep.
Dude, you're the saint.
Well, the Patriots are about to enter a really fun period here for them. So
it's pretty easy to not cheer for the Patriots right now.
She's smart to switch now. Like, this is a brilliant change.
Sell that stock. Actually, you should have sold that stock like 4 years ago, but you can probably still get some value on it, that sports stock. Chase, thanks for coming on, man. Great stuff. Good luck with your predictions, and we'll see you again sometime.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. Guest, listener, predictor, Chase. Before we make our final trip around the room here, a shout out to Zero Res, helping with that spring cleaning that you've been putting off, or maybe you've been with the snowfall here in the last couple of days, tracking in a bunch of grime. Well, Zero Res comes in with a 4.9 rating on Google, 17,000 reviews. And if you ask for the Score North special, you can get 3 rooms Zero Resified starting at just $129 and $75 off when you get those air ducts Zero Res clean. 952-ZERO-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com. Say you want the Score North special. Spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res.
Write this down.
Write that down.
Okay, Judd, your final prediction.
All right, so the Gopher hockey team, men's hockey team, is in the regionals this weekend, in South Dakota?
Mm-hmm.
It's not the hardest one.
No.
But it's not simple. And so write this down. The Gopher hockey team will not make the Frozen Four this season.
Okay.
The Gopher hockey team will not make the Final Four this season. They're in the same bracket, if I'm not mistaken, as the Celebrini kid from BC. That's a good team.
Who's the one seed in their bracket?
I just don't feel like they're
BU?
No.
BU is, yes. Yes, BC's the better team, not in their bracket, though. But I just don't think this is going to be the year. They've got their chances last year. I still don't know how they didn't win that game.
And you blew it!
And you blew it!
You blew it!
Time, Faber on the bench, Cooley on the bench. I don't get it.
Dex, your final prediction.
All right, last one for me. I'm going to now have a negative Twins prediction because I gave mostly two positive ones. Write this down. The Twins will blow a save opportunity in Kansas City.
Oh, man.
They will blow a save opportunity. Someone will be credited with a blown save in Kansas City. Write it down.
Off the record?
Griffin Jack's off the record, your guy?
Or who? Stewart?
Jax could do it. Stewart could do it. I just, with the bullpen being in shambles, someone's going to have to pitch out of their skis, do it a little bit, and they're going to blow us safe. They're going to blow us safe.
You know, I'm going to bring some positivity here. All right.
Write this down.
I have one that's a long-term season prediction, but I'm going to save that for later.
Yep.
I'll just give you a quick little snippet. I want something to come off the board tomorrow. Pablo Lopez, opening day starter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pablo Lopez, despite the spring struggles, will strike out the first batter he faces tomorrow. He'll start the season with a strikeout of the first batter.
Okay.
Jim Bowden picked him as your Cy Young winner for his predictions. He also had, you guys tell me if this is also an issue. So he picked Royce Lewis to win comeback player of the year. Do you think he qualifies as a comeback player of the year?
So if you come back, play a chunk of the season,
and we're really
and go
good,
gangbusters, and hit grand slams every at bat, like,
are there qualifications for that award? Do we have strict qualifications?
He did. I will say he had Carlos Correa third. Like I could see actually if Correa like puts up Correa numbers, he could get it. But
no,
I don't.
But comeback player doesn't mean you were out. It means you were bad sometimes.
Yeah, but Carlos Correa wasn't. I don't think he was bad enough.
It was a really bad.
It was a bad year for him. Like if he's back to normal, like an 859 OPS and Gold Glove defense, I could totally see him winning comeback player of the year. But Royce Lewis, I don't. think he should qualify for that award.
You think of it more as like a Joey Gallo has a career year or something after almost being out of the league. Cody Bellinger.
I kind of feel like it's a lifetime achievement comeback player of the year award, right? Like he plays in a full season, so that therefore he's the comeback. But I don't think that works.
But he played a half season, or he played like a third of a season, and was one of the best hitters and players in baseball during that period. So
I agree. I don't know.
I'm looking here to find out. It feels like there's got to be some type of guidelines.
I think it's just perception. It's like, who do you perceive as the comeback player?
Why are we doing it?
I feel like it's mostly injury based, or it's someone popping up like a Joey Gallo having a career year or something.
So, all right, go Royce Lewis. I'm rooting for him to win comeback player of the year. Let's go. Go Twins. Roll the boat, Sky Matt.
He'd be like, Royce, you're the comeback player of the year. No, yeah, I'd probably be like an MVP candidate.
That could happen.
I think for him to win comeback player of the year, he would probably also be in the MVP mix, though, right? Because he'd have to put up such a ridiculous season.
I feel like if I'm his age, screw your comeback. That's for old men.
I think you're treating the comeback player of the year like the most improved player, where like comeback player of the year is all right, cool, whatever. Yeah, I was off the grid for a period of time. Most improved player is offensive because it means that you were crappy before.
No, I've got the perfect example. This fits the criteria. Byron Buxton.
Yes.
Literally could not play center field. Had a flap. His knee had a flap the whole time. Like Carlos Correa. Carlos Correa played a good shortstop last year.
Yep. You're right on Buxton. 100%.
You know, Byron Buxton, he basically couldn't play. He was a shell of himself. He was broken down. He was at the bottom. He was in the gutter of baseball. Pulled himself up by the bootstraps.
But not too aggressively, so as to not aggravate anything.
Yeah. Pulled himself up by the bootstraps. Very and unfortunately carefully. Was put on the 60-day IL because the bootstraps broke.
Both hamstrings popped. All right, there's your Write That Down predictions here. Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd and the Score North YouTube channel.